This podcast is brought to you by the Empowerment Project. It's for kids and all the trusted adults who love them and want them to stay safe, empowered, and thriving. My name is Sylvia Smart, and I've been teaching martial arts and self-defense to kids since, probably kids, since your parents were very little kids. Maybe even before they were born. Yep, I'm pretty old, but only on the outside. I totally remember what it's like to be a kid. Kids, we're going to talk with other kids and hear how they powered up and stayed safe when things happened to them that felt weird or icky, things they'd never had to deal with before, things that maybe even felt creepy or scary. They're going to tell us what happened and what they did to protect themselves. Having a podcast just for you is a great way to learn this stuff, and I am so glad you're here. And trusted adults, we're going to empower you to have conversations about this stuff with your children as they grow and learn and practice these very essential life skills. Sometimes we'll talk with other parents too. All of this is going to be age appropriate, with my end game being protecting kids and keeping them safe. I want to empower your kiddos to use their voices, to set their own boundaries, and to talk to you and tell you anytime something happens that makes them feel uncomfortable. Research proves that self-defense training makes you safer, period. Ultimately, I'm going to want you to get some in-person physical training, but a great kid self-defense class is so much more than just the physical skills. I'm really glad you're here. I have been doing this stuff for a really long time, and I want to teach you everything I know. It's time to power up. Hello, listeners. It's lovely to have you with me today. Also with me is a very special guest. Her name is Trudy Ludwig, and she is a writer of kids' books who is known and loved all across the country. The books that Trudy writes are really important because they help kids and also the adults who love kids learn and think and talk about things that really affect kids, things like friendships and how to get along in the world, even when things get kind of tough. Trudy travels all across the country speaking at schools and libraries and conferences and at organizations, and she and her books have won gazillions of awards. And aside from all of this, she is a wonderful person and a fantastic mom. Welcome, Trudy.
Oh, wow. What an introduction. Hard to live up to.
You live up to it just by being.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really nice to have you with us. Thank you.
It's lovely to be here.
So, Trudy, I know that my listeners and I would love to know some things about you. Like, how did you become a writer? Did you always want to be a writer? Is that what you thought you'd be growing up? And how did that kind of unfold for you?
I forgot what I loved to do as a kid until my sister, several years ago, sent me stories that I had written for birthday presents for my parents. I didn't have money as the fifth child, the youngest, so I wrote birthday stories as gifts, and I also illustrated them. And I laughed when I saw them because I remembered how much, when I saw those stories, how much I loved to write stories as a kid. And I loved reading stories. Most authors are good readers. We love to read, and that whets our appetite for creating our own stories, right? And so I ended up writing a bit, but I didn't think about being a children's author again. I just was writing professionally for marketing. I was basically creating landfill with the stuff that I wrote. Advertising and marketing about products and services I really could not care less about. And I knew I loved to write. I just didn't love what I was writing.
Right. And
so I, when my kids were in school early on, this is many years ago, there were some friendship issues going on that it started as early as kindergarten, and it imploded for one of my kids the first week of second grade. And I realized when I was researching this that it's a type of bullying that often goes below the radar of adults, and it could be parents or teachers, and it's called relational aggression. It's using relationships to intentionally manipulate and hurt others. And I realized that there really weren't any resources out there for kids to help them understand this nuanced type of bullying hidden within friendship groups. There were a lot of books about stereotypical boys that, you know, would be physically bigger than you and, you know, use physical force and steal your lunch money. But this is a much more subtle type of aggression. It's been around since people have been around. But it wasn't named until the mid-1990s, or the term coined by Dr. Nikki Crick at the University of Minnesota. And so I just happened to be the right time, the right place, because there was an amazing book that came out talking about this type of relational aggression. And it's evident as early as preschool, appears to peak in middle school. And actually, it's the primary form of bullying, not only in schools, but also in the adult workplace. Gossiping, spreading rumors, intentional exclusion, sharing information that's not yours to share, giving the silent treatment, manipulating relationships to empower yourself with higher social status. So I really wanted to help kids understand what makes a friendship a healthy friendship. And I believe, as with my first book that I wrote based on this, it wasn't my daughter's story. It was fiction. It's realistic fiction, but so many people could connect with it, with My Secret Bully. That's the title of the book. And I wanted to show that happy endings are letting go of unhealthy relationships.
Mm. So rather than spending more time trying to befriend and get in with this person who's hurting you, rather than trying to make it okay somehow and do the things that they want to become better friends with them and whoever else is in their social circle, rather what you're saying is to learn to really move past it and live without it. Is that what you're saying?
Is to understand what makes a friend a healthy friend. Yeah. What makes a friend a good friend?
Well, let's talk about that. What makes a friend a good friend, Trudy?
Well, funny you should bring that up. So I did a sequel. I don't know if you knew this was a sequel to the first book, My Secret Bully. I ended up writing a middle grade called Confessions of a Former Bully. And it picks up where My Secret Bully left off. And basically what it is the... it's the personal diary of the kid that was bullying the protagonist, Monica, in the first book. And I wanted to show we're all more than our labels. We're all capable of wearing what I call the bully hat, and how to learn to be a better friend. And in it, I put in a chart of what makes a friend a good friend. So here are some examples. One of the charts that one of the characters in the story, which is a school counselor named Mrs. Petrowski. She gave the protagonist, who was the one wearing the bully hat, a friendship chart to help this child understand what makes a friend a good friend. So good friends appreciate and like you who you are. Bad friends put you down to build themselves up. Good friends accept that you get to choose your own friends. Bad friends tell you who you can be friends with. Good friends make you feel welcome in their group or activity. Bad friends won't let you join their group or activity. Good friends have good things to say about you to their friends, not only to your face, but also, importantly, behind your back. Mm-hmm. Bad friends gossip, spread rumors, or send hurtful email and text messages about you. Good friends use humor in a harmless way. Bad friends hide behind the words "just kidding" and "no offense" when saying something hurtful. Good friends make you feel accepted and safe, contrary to what bad friends do. Good friends work things out with you when you have problems. Bad friends refuse to admit when they did something wrong and they keep doing it. This also is for adult friendships too.
I was going to say, this sounds familiar. I mean, like, yes.
You know, we all have this, right?
We all have this.
Kids. I mean, yeah. This form of relational aggression, as I said, it's the primary form of bullying from preschool through adulthood, right? Good friends you can count on consistently every day. Bad friends are nice one day and mean the next. And good friends really want to hang out with you. And bad friends only play with you until someone better comes along in their eyes. Yeah. So that pretty much is a nutshell of, you know, I really wanted to help, especially girls, understand about friendships, because those are their type of relationships that they're nurturing. It's their primary form of relationships other than their family, familial, and their parental relationships. And I worry that if kids put up with abusive friends, that they'll gravitate to more abusive romantic partners later in life. So that's what I think it's really important to start younger, because the lessons to be learned are less painful than as you get older.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I love that chart. And there are so many parallels between the work that I do as a self-defense teacher, both with children and with adults, because self-defense is like, it's like how to use your power in relationships, like in a good, kind way, but how to learn how to really stand up for yourself and create strong boundaries and know how to say no. Mm-hmm. And so what you're talking about is something that my listeners are familiar with. And I love how it's like black and white. These are what friends do. These are all the things that make you feel warm and fuzzy and good. And then these are the things that don't make you feel warm and fuzzy and good. And it's not okay for you not to feel warm and fuzzy and good.
Right. Sometimes, and also, you know, you're going to have problems with relationships. Sure. You know, we have problems with relationships. We can be allergic to our partners in life, right? There are those times. But good friends and good relationships work things out with you when you have problems, because they're inevitably problems. But willing to work it out and to really listen and hear what you have to say, to make sure that your voice is heard and you feel seen and you feel heard. Right. That is a special relationship.
And those discussions, those working things out, can be done kindly, so that no one feels less than or worse off afterwards, or, you know, exactly, I mean, Trudy.
It's all about choice. We can choose to be kind or we can choose to be cruel, right? No child is born mean. That's what I share with the kids around the country. No kid is born mean. No kid is born a racist. We learn it. We can learn it at home, school, and in our neighborhood. And it's a choice. We can choose to put that bully hat on. We can choose to take it off. And look, kids make mistakes. You know, that's practically their job to make mistakes, because they're trying on feelings. They're trying on relationships. And our job as caring adults in the world, in their world, is to turn those mistakes into teachable moments so that they don't keep making the same mistakes.
So let me ask you this, because the people who listen to this podcast are kids and adults who love them, whether they're family or, you know, folks and that interact with kids. What do you think that the adults who are listening can do if they know that the kid that they love is facing some relational aggression, some stuff going on at school, someone is giving them the silent treatment or not allowing them to play with their friend, you know, all the things that you talked about, and the kid who's listening is coming home and feeling, you know, pretty bad about it. What are some things? First of all, back up. Let's talk about the kids, because I'm assuming you're going to say it's really important for you to talk to the adults who love you and let them know what's going on. Is that right? Is that true?
Yeah, that is true. Finding the person that you feel safe with. Now, it may not necessarily be that particular child's parent or caregiver. It may not be a particular teacher. We can't tell a child who they feel safe with.
Right.
So it may be a matter of, if the child relates to you as a parent, they don't feel safe at school or something's going on. I think part of giving power to the child is asking that child, who at school do you feel safe with talking about it because it needs to be addressed? Who would you feel most safe? So you're giving that child back some power. The other thing is they may be sharing, and this is part of the problem, because adults, we can make the problem worse because we're going to run in, roll up our sleeves and solve the problem where we could be making the problem worse. So oftentimes, and this is what I learned from a sixth grader, is when she was sharing problems about a friend with her parent, I asked her, are you venting or did you want your parent to help you solve the problem? And she was so shocked that I asked her that. She said, well, I was just venting. Mm-hmm. And that was a thank you moment for me, because I think what we have to do is ask our kids, are you venting or do you want me to help you solve the problem?
Right.
Because oftentimes kids are trying to sort through it, give them the opportunity to sort through it. And then you can say, if you're having problems, if it continues, please let me know. Let's talk about what we can do. The reality is, and the kids see it going on, there's a lot of horrible adult role modeling going on in our country right now, obviously, and kids see it. And you have to be, as an adult in that child's world, be honest. Look, you know, you're seeing a lot of hurt going on in the world. And, you know, much as we'd love to get rid of all the hurt in your world, but honestly, we're not going to be able to get rid of all the hurt. But what caring adults and supportive peers can do is actually help you get through the hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important for us to figure out, how can we raise more emotionally resilient kids? The research shows that it takes one good friend to get a kid through tough social times. If something's going on at school, the adult, it's really important to see if that child can have some connections outside of the school,
mm-hmm.
so that they have friends in extracurricular activities, like going to your program, learning self-defense, building self-confidence in those ways, making connections outside of that, to validate who they are, and to not personalize as much. Another thing, which a therapist had recommended, is when your child comes and shares that something is going on, a person's not being nice or is somewhat cruel to a particular child, ask the child, why don't you pay attention to see if that person is also being hurtful to other
mm-hmm.
people?
Mm-hmm.
Because what it's doing is and report back, because what it's doing is showing it has really nothing to do with the person being picked on, has everything to do with the person doing the picking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes, if it's happening at school, it's really important to know if there's an adult there that the child trusts, because maybe it's a school counselor or an administrator. Because what that adult and child don't know is that the child who is being aggressive towards their child may also have been reported by other adults. And it gives the school more so-called ammunition to address it while protecting the confidentiality. And that's why I also focus on upstanders, kids who witness other kids getting hurt, those bystanders, to turn them into upstanders without risking their safety. Because it's a lot of times it could be a matter of they said, she said, he sure. said, she said. And so the bystanders are the upstanders for reporting, but they have to make sure that in those schools, those bystanders are protected from counteraggression.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. You know, this is one of the principles of self-defense is telling what is going on, because when we're communicating with one another, then we all have more information. And it's exactly what you're talking about, because then...
So when you're talking about telling, or whether it's reporting, I think it's really important for the adults to make a distinction for the kids, the difference between snitching and telling or reporting.
Yeah.
And this is how I define it, or tattling. You know, tattling or snitching is when you're trying to get someone in trouble and no one is getting hurt physically or emotionally. Reporting or telling is when you're trying to help someone out of trouble because someone is getting hurt physically or emotionally over and over again. And the other thing too, it's really important because a lot of people really, the word bullying has become such a hot buzzword in our society that, and in our media, tends to be misused and overused. So it's really important for adults and children to have a same common language. So, because not all hurtful behavior is bullying. So I talk about the three types of hurt. If someone says something or does something hurtful and they don't do it on purpose, it's unintentional, and they do it once, that's rude. That's when we don't think before we speak. rude is not bullying. Mm-hmm. When someone says something or does something hurtful on purpose and they do it once, that's mean. Mean isn't bullying. Oftentimes kids think that mean is bullying. Bullying is when someone says something or does something hurtful on purpose and you show you're mad, sad, or scared, or you try to get that person to stop and they don't. That's when they cross the line into bullying.
Mm-hmm. They do it again and again.
Right. But yeah. The part that gets tricky is when it's online bullying, because you can just send one message and then it gets repeated over and over and over again, right?
Yeah,
But I'm of the ilk that what all the research is showing is that, look, social media and technology, digital technology is a tool. It's not evil in and of itself. And what the research shows that kids who tend to be hurtful offline are the same kind of kids that tend to be hurtful online. Same with adults. The kids who tend to be targeted online are the same kids that tend to be targeted offline. There's definitely a crossover.
Yeah.
So what I encourage adults is talking about civility, whether it's offline or online, it's the same rules still apply.
We've talked a little bit about things that adults can do. Are there any other things you want to add about, you know, somebody, my child comes to me or a child comes to me and is talking to me about something that's going on in school? It sounds like a really good first question is, are you just telling me this because you want to get it off your chest, or are you feeling like you need some help with this?
Do you want my support? The best one is, if the venting is, are you sharing or do you want me to help you solve the problem?
Yeah.
Do you just want to share, just want to talk about it? Not expecting me to solve the problem, because I will help you, you know?
Yeah.
The other thing is, oftentimes, I think it's important for adults to role play with their kids.
Yes, I agree 100%.
Some of the hurtful things that they may hear people say without naming names, and then role play with the kids. Like, what could you say without being hurtful back, so that we can break that cycle of hurt that tends to get more vicious and more violent? So if we can try not to feed that aggression by distraction, you can do it. And that's one of the reasons I wrote Confessions of a Former Bully, which is a sequel, is I talk about the ways of role play where kids can find their own voice rather than a parent saying, this is what you need to say to those kids.
Exactly. Yep.
Because out of that 9-year-old child comes this 40-something-year-old voice, and the kids look like that child's from another planet.
Sure.
So to find out what tools, and I have starter tools in the book, Confessions of a Former Bully.
Excellent.
Of role play.
Yeah.
They won't end bullying problems per se, but they help the child to get away quickly and safely with their dignity intact. And then if it is bullying, could just be rude, could just be mean, they it will give them an opportunity of, distraction and getting away without feeding into the drama.
Yeah. You know, there's another thing that sometimes happens that that I've seen real life stories that kids have told me and that I've seen with my own children, that they will share in the hopes of getting some help with a situation, and the person doesn't believe them or doesn't want to hear about it. And so the thing that I always tell the children that I'm working with is just keep telling. You keep telling your safe person and another safe person and another safe person till you find the one who's willing to help you figure it out, what you need to do.
Well, you tell who you think is your safe person, because who a child thinks may be a safe person may not be. If the person's not helping them, they're not a safe person.
Exactly. Yes. Right. You just keep going till you find that person, and then you know that person's safe.
Or you ask a good friend who they may know.
Yeah, that's a good strategy too.
And talking about it, or there's somebody that somebody could talk to or may feel safe talking to, somebody who they feel comfortable being with and saying, I don't know if you can help me, but do you know somebody who could?
Yes.
Right. I mean, not everybody knows how to handle it. And I know there are a lot of adults whose heart is in the right place.
Yeah.
But they may be making the problem worse. So it's really important to keep the communication lines open. That's a big thing, is having good communications with your kids, making sure they feel heard, checking in, looking at resources, finding out information, finding out what the bullying prevention programs are in the school. How do they, what are the protocols for it? How is that handled? Find out what their bullying policy is. You know, there are instances where when you, it's just like when you have a dysfunctional parents, chances are you're going to have dysfunctional kids. Same thing with schools. If you have dysfunctional top leaders, right?
Yep.
The staff's going to be dysfunctional. They may not feel safe. So why would a kid who sees the staff not feeling safe, why would they even consult the staff, right?
Right, right.
So there are times where there are families that just aren't being helped by the schools and they're ignoring it, up even maybe in the superintendent of that school district. And they, I've had parents tell me that they ended up having to pull that child out of that school or that school district, and they physically moved to go to a new school district.
Yeah.
And my question that I ask them is, do you have any regrets? That's a question I've asked. And I hear the same answer for those few that I've talked with. They say their only regret is that they had not done it sooner.
Interesting. Wow. Wow. Deep breath. That's a lot. That's a huge life change. Can we talk a little bit more about the kids who listen to my podcast and the people who love them have had all sorts of conversations together about setting boundaries, about being able to say no, about, about what's safe and what's not safe, what feels okay, what doesn't feel okay. What can you, I suspect that most of my listeners, if they knew that someone in their class or someone they were friends with was being hurt at school, bullied, or just dealing with this relational aggression, I would suspect that they're going to want to support that person who's being hurt. And so can we talk a little bit about that? And if I want to be a good friend and I have a friend who's hurting, how can I, what's the kind and sensitive and supportive way for me to address that?
So there were researchers that asked that very question in a study called the Youth Voice Project, where they asked kids in upper elementary school, middle school, and high school that were being picked on. They said, what would you like adults to do? What was the best advice and what was the worst advice from adults and then from their peers? One of the top answers that bystanders, that they wanted bystanders to do, which was very fascinating, was comfort them. They want bystanders, you don't have to do it during, if the bystander doesn't feel safe. It could be a person who's very popular that has no problem comforting that person who is less popular, right? Maybe being bullied by someone less popular, because that popular person has a lot of social status power or has a bunch of friends that can go up and say, knock it off if they don't, you know, they don't feel, you know, at risk. But comfort the kid, let them know they don't deserve it. Listen to them, take their problems seriously. And so that was a top answer. The kid said, look, you may not be able to solve my problems, but you can help me get through the hurt by making me feel better.
Being my friend.
You could do it by texting or emailing me or just talking to me.
Sitting with me at lunch.
Yeah. The second top answer for the kids was include me. So we have comfort. And then the second one was include. Include me in your great group game or activity. There's safety in numbers.
Yeah.
Intentional exclusion is bullying. And one of the worst things is feeling like you have no friends and people treating like, who am I going to hang out with on the playground? You know, is there anybody that will hang out with me?
Right.
And kids will put up with hurtful friends for fear of having no friends at all. And it's important for kids to feel included. So And also when kids tend to target kids, they tend to target kids that are by themselves, right? So there's safety in numbers.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So it's include. And the other one is report. If you see I'm getting hurt, a lot of times some kids who are being bullied, they lose their voice, right?
Yeah.
And so a bystander, a witness can go up and report to somebody saying, hey, somebody's getting hurt. They need help.
Yeah.
And making sure they're reporting to a grown-up that will protect the confidentiality of that bystander. So
yes,
that child won't be targeted.
Yes.
Also by the person who's being aggressive.
Yes. Yes. That protection of the person who's sharing is, or telling or reporting, is so important that they feel safe that they can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I wonder if, I know you travel the country and you talk to lots of children across the country. Have you heard any stories of, like, what we call success stories? A story of a child who was being bullied and came out on the other side and felt stronger because of it, or felt like they dealt with it really well and they're proud of themselves?
I've actually, I've had... One of the books that I've written, it's called The Invisible Boy. It's actually my most popular book. And it's about kids that feel excluded intentionally or unintentionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had kids that have high social status power or have a lot of friends. And what the story has done for them is they have responded and written to me that they are going to pay attention to those kids that seem that they have no one to play with alone,
yeah,
and try to include them and make sure that they don't feel invisible. And then the other kids that have read the story, they say, I feel invisible. And it allows the teacher and the adults working with the kids to make more efforts to make sure that that child is included, and it's, yeah, helped them.
That's awesome.
So it causes a movement, actually. My books are one school, one books, where the schools have that one book for the whole school and they do a whole kindness campaign out of it.
Wow.
And what can they do to make kids feel that they're included? How can we be kind to one another? So it's not just a one-time thing. It's a theme throughout the entire year.
Trudy, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So I suspect that people listening, did I interrupt you? You go ahead and
I'll go right ahead. Go right
well,
ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I suspect that people listening are going to want one school, one book. They're going to be interested in what you do. They're going to be interested in hearing more, reading your books. I want to let them know, don't worry, because if you go to the description of this podcast episode, you will find links to Trudy's website page. You will find ways to connect with her. You'll find a list of her books. And so the information that you're looking for is right here in the podcast episode description. So you'll have complete access to our guest today. What else were you going to say about that?
I have no idea.
I don't remember. but your books are wonderful. I love that story. We were talking about success stories, and I love that it becomes a thing where your readers write to you and tell you, this book changed my life, or this book really helped me. That's fantastic. Really wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. And I think too, I also not just focus on the bullying, but I'm trying to deal with all kinds of issues that kids deal with, because, you know, kids these days are a lot more sophisticated than when you and I were a kid.
Yeah.
They're exposed to a lot more than when you and I were a kid, 24/7. And, you know, life is messy and relationships are complicated and messy. And that's even more so for kids whose brains are still developing. And so, I write stories that I hope honestly portray the human condition in ways that help shine light, not only on ourselves, but others in a safe social setting.
Yeah.
And that's why I write what I write. I deal with different issues, and one of them is anxiety. I listen to what's going on in schools, what the teachers and administrators are sharing it with me. Mm-hmm. What I've been hearing, you know, how anxiety has skyrocketed even prior to the pandemic.
Yeah.
The pandemic just turbo boosted it. But to let kids know, I want to approach topics in a different way, including anxiety, which is why I wrote Brave Every Day. I wanted to show kids that, you know, kids who worry are a lot braver than they think. In fact, they're warriors. Those warriors are warriors because they have to go beyond their comfort zone every single day to do what needs to be done, right?
Yeah.
And I wanted to show them that their heart is bigger than their fears. And, you know, only when you're afraid can you learn to be brave. So I want to reframe topics for kids to not make them feel like something is wrong with them, but that we're all dealing with these human struggles. They're very universal struggles. Even adults have those issues.
And by the way, I love the illustrations in your books.
Oh, thank you. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Well, Trudy, I don't get to pick who the illustrators are, surprisingly. And that actually shocks even the adults that when you're a picture book author, the publisher selects who the illustrator is.
Are you friends with them? Like, do you end up being friends with
now.
Them?
Well, with Patrice Barton, who did three of my books. She did The Invisible Boy, Quiet Please, Owen McPhee, and Brave Every Day. Yes, we're good friends, and I've met her several times. She's based in Austin, Texas, and when my daughter was living there for 5 years, we'd usually try to get together and hang out. She's just amazing and extremely talented. Yeah, and then my most recent book called Calling the Wind, which is helping kids understand grief and the healing process of human connection and hope. That's by an illustrator author, Catherine Atoshi, and she and I have been friends for years, and we've been wanting for years to do a book together, and this is our first picture book collaboration.
Wonderful. So great to have you chatting with us. And I hope that sometime you can come back.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for having me. It was really good to talk with you. And I'm going to just share with your listeners that I believe you kids are not just our future. You're our present. And I believe you can do a lot better than a lot of grownups that are walking around these days. And I believe you are the change makers, which is why I do what I do, because I'm recruiting kindness warriors of all ages around the country to create kindness wherever you go.
That's really powerful, Trudy. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's wrap-up time. No kids' self-defense class is complete until we've shouted together about how amazing we are. So here's what I want you to do. First of all, make sure it's okay to shout and be loud. Like, make sure no one's on the phone or working from home or trying to take a nap. And by the way, if it's not an okay time to shout, that's all right too. You can use a quiet voice or even a whisper. Works the same. I'm going to say something and I want you to repeat after me. Okay, so you figured out how loud you can be. Now, if you can, stand in a power pose with your feet planted about as wide apart as your shoulders are. If you can't stand up, sitting's fine too, but just feel your body connecting to the ground. And then do something that feels really powerful to you, like put your hands up in the air in a V for victory sign, or make fists and put them on your hips, or put both your hands on your heart, okay? So do something that feels really powerful to you. Take a deep breath and repeat after me as loud as you can. Here we go. I am a strong and powerful kid. I have the right to say no. No means no. And one last time with my favorite. I am a strong and powerful kid. And then we say yes. Yes, you rock. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Power Up Kids Self-Defense Podcast. I'll see you next time. And between now and then, stay safe and have fun. And for the adults, I really appreciate that you're listening and sharing this podcast with your kiddos. Thank you for taking the time to do this. I do this work, I take on the expenses of this work because I think it's important. If you'd like to support me, I'd be most grateful. You can find links to my Buy Me a Coffee page or to my website podcast donation page in the episode description. Thanks for supporting this work. Let's do this. Let's make the world safer for all the kids. When you review this podcast and share it with your friends and family, that also helps spread the word. And I'd love it if you'd do that too. And by the way, if you or your kids have an experience or a story that you or they would be willing to share with me and our listeners, I'd love to hear it. This is how we learn from one another. Sharing and telling our stories is really powerful. It's a gift that we can give to others, and it's a path toward our own healing and empowerment. Anyway, connect with me if you've got something that you'd be willing to talk about sharing. There's a link in the episode description for how to do that. Take care and be safe.